Welcome to the Watch OK Please podcast, a podcast where three friends try to convince each other to devote what little time they have left to watch more TV and or movies than they've ever wanted to watch. Please join us while we argue about our media cues and waste everyone's valuable time on things that just don't matter.
Howdy, watchers. It's Dan, and thank you for joining us on another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. It's a little surreal that we're already at 60 episodes. Thanks for sticking with us. This week, our friend Ducky Momo from the extended YouTube and Discord communities sets up camp to hear our feedback on Expedition Unknown, an adventure show currently available on Discovery+. We continue our random Indiana Jones movie quotes and ghost hunting tropes from the week prior, but much like how Josh Gates travels all over the world, this feedback does quite a bit of migrating. We jump from Nyan's satisfactory bullwhip purchase experience, to Jason's lost calling into archaeology, to Dan's serial mastication reminiscence of Discovery's Brewmasters episode with Dogfish Head making chicha. If this podcast is the best or worst thing you've ever heard, please subscribe, rate, and review us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you hit us up on our Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook page, you'll probably get a possibly informative or witty response from one of us if that's the thing you want. Finally, if you have a short movie you want us to watch, please leave us a voicemail on our Anchor page at anchor.fm/watchokplease. All right, watchers, let's grab our brushes and sift our way through this feedback with Ducky. Howdy, watchers. We are back for get some feedback from a pitch from good friend of the channel, Ducky Momo. Ducky's been around a lot of different Discords out there, but, you know, just a shout out a couple here. We got the Everyday Geeks. We've got the Community. We've got Star Wars Santa. And, of course, Nerd Mafia and all the other channels that are related to this. You know, he hangs out in all these channels, and he is also known as the luckiest duck, or I should say winningest duck out there when it comes to guessing and whatnot, especially on Santa's channel. So watch out if he happens to join your quest for submissions in that area. So without further ado, Ducky, just take us back. We're watching and where we can find it.
All right, we were watching Destination Truth, and it is on the Discovery Channel as well as Discovery Plus. Recommended two episodes, one called The Secret and one called
The Quest for El Dorado.
That was it.
Yeah. Okay, I have to double check. We were supposed to watch Expedition Unknown, right?
Yes.
Yes. Did I say Destination Truth? See, that's why I'm not a pro. I'm bringing up other shows.
There, I was like, oh boy, this is going to be a rough recording tonight.
That's right. Expedition Unknown. Well, I am terrible at this.
Welcome to the Josh Gates of Hell.
There you go.
So guys, anyone here want to lead off and tell us what they thought?
I really like this. This was a really good fun time. I think I wasn't sure necessarily what to expect going into it as to whether I was really going to enjoy it or not. I thought I would, but somewhat skeptical because I haven't, you know, watched a lot of Josh's other stuff, but he's a delight. Like, yeah. I kept thinking, my first thought was he reminded me of David Harbour, but then it was like, that's not right. What he is, is Roy from The Office after he breaks up with Pam and then goes off to be an archaeologist. And his life is so much better because he's not working in the warehouse anymore.
That is 100% accurate, man. I cannot agree more with what you just said.
That is a perfect description.
I really just appreciated his enthusiasm, and it was just nice to see some, you know, genuine appreciation for culture and just someone really enjoying what they were doing. It's just a good time.
I agree. I thought it was a really fun show. He's super excited. He could turn anything into the most exciting thing he's ever done in his life. You know, he could be doing an episode on crossing the street and be like, everyone, so I hear we're going to be crossing a street today, you know? And is that true? Are we going to cross this street?
At this point on the street?
And we're doing it. Wait, there's a car. Everybody down. No, he's very dramatic, but he's super enthusiastic. He brings a lot of energy to the show. I like the stories. I can see why you suggested The Secret. I thought that was a really fun episode. I almost would have switched the order and done The Secret second so you can appreciate how fun that is. The Quest for El Dorado was really interesting. Maybe you mentioned this, but I'd forgotten that it was a cliffhanger and that he was then going to go into the jungle. And when I watched it, I didn't really have time to continue. And I was just sitting there going, oh, man, I want to know what he finds in the jungle now.
Yeah, it's great. It's totally true.
Yeah, I'll probably go back to it when I have time and finish that up. That was definitely a really interesting episode. And that cliffhanger kept me going.
Yeah, both, you know, kind of took a lot of the words out of my mouth, so to speak, my opinion as well. You know, I didn't know what to expect from this. I did get that a kind of a similar quest for exploration vibe that we got from Travel Man. It was, you know, a little more of the, I'd say, the passion for culture and a little less of the comedy, if you will. And there were funny things, obviously, in there and whatnot. But I think that there was that same kind of watchability, I guess is the word I'm looking for here. And I really did appreciate that across the board. And you know, I want to go back. And I think, Ducky, you had mentioned there were other secret-related episodes later.
Yeah, there's three of them in total. The first one explains everything. And then there's two more that come in, I think, season 9 or so.
I heard one in season 7.
Oh, one's season 7?
One of them is season 7. I don't know where the other
one is. Oh, they're both season 7. They're both season 7. Okay. Yeah, because they're like two or three episodes apart.
Yeah.
Because right after the one episode, he says, it starts off with, well, I just got a picture. And he shows it on the screen. It's like, guess what we're going back to already?
Yeah. I think the only reason why I didn't, like, you know, Jason, push through to the next El Dorado episode or to another secret episode was just time. Lack of time this week, unfortunately. But, you know, I do fully intend to kind of, you know, go back and push through at least those. And, of course, we mentioned a couple other questions and, you know, I talked about Dillinger and other, you know, kinds of topics back out there. And I'm sure there are other episodes that will be equally as delightful with the way that Mr. Gates puts them forth.
I mean, with 10 seasons, there's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. I kind of like the fact you never quite know what you're going to get. You know, is it essentially a glorified scavenger hunt that goes across the country? Are you going into the deep jungles of Colombia? You don't know, you know, and, you know, sort of cruising.
The Appalachian wilderness, you know.
Right. You know, he goes all over the world. Scotland. He's going to the Amelia Earhart was somewhere in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. Islands, right? I think.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think that's really exciting. I love shows where you kind of don't know what you're going to be doing this week.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes they're looking for Nazi gold and they dig up a Templar burial ground and they're, everyone's like, well, this is great, but this isn't what we wanted. Oh, man. Archaeological dig now. No Nazi gold.
Yeah. Yeah. You have chosen poorly.
They do that joke in one of the Templar episodes. Yes. Yeah, there's a bar over apparently somewhere in England where they actually have chalices.
Oh, here. That's brilliant. I love that.
So they do a skit there.
I have to give props because there were a number of dad joke-esque things that happened over the course of this. I have to give Josh props for some of them. I did love the joke where he was heading up towards the mountains to get to the cave where the golden raft was found, right? And the dogs are running in front of the vehicle. And he says, like, I hope we're not led astray, like with the stray dogs up there. I'm like, ah, brilliant, dude. And my other favorite one was when he was in Colombia and the woman puts the hat on him and he just screams Gryffindor. Oh, my, I was like, mad. That was, yeah. He's quick with his tongue as well as apparently on his motorcycle sometimes. So yeah.
I'm glad you guys joined it. One of my, you know, it's a pitch meeting. So you gotta sell it. You always worry about overselling it and then everyone walks away disappointed. So I'm glad everybody seemed to enjoy it because I really do.
So I'm curious, Anaya and Jason, what were some of the things you either, you know, took away from these two episodes or what was your favorite part of each one of them?
So one of the things I absolutely loved was his office.
Oh, yes. Yes. Good point.
I was not prepared for that. I'm like, this is the coolest Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones wishes
yes.
he had that
office. Yes.
So that was awesome. I don't know why I really liked that, but I just was like, this is awesome. I found it, a running theme I found was he did not seem to be too enthusiastic to walk. You know, it's like, miss your adventure. And they'd be like, where are we going? Over there. Oh, over there?
Yeah.
Oh. Can we get these motorcycles to go a little further, maybe?
No, we're walking from here. Only went 3 miles.
Right. And you're looking, you're like, this isn't very far. Like, this is like a mile you're walking, man. Come on. Get out there.
He'll hike up the side of the mountain, but he won't walk 40 yards.
Yeah. Destination, you know, we're not withstanding, obviously. Yeah, it's funny.
I love the subtitles. Why were the subtitles insane? I've never seen subtitles like
yes.
this, where just like with the random small words. And I noticed with Discovery Plus stuff, like a lot of TLC, there's a lot of, because I watch a lot of trash. is, you know, the subtitles are a little okay. Yeah. What, no one's learned anything from TLC, formerly known as the Learning Channel, in years.
There.
So, you know, there, I feel like sometimes they provide subtitles where you don't necessarily need it. You can understand the people, but this was just, I felt like they were trying to use it as a learning tool. Like, it was a little Sesame Street-y. I was like, maybe the thought was that if you make the subtitles random fonts, kids will read them and learn this way. Like, that was the only thing, only reason I could think of to have these just like some letters like normal size and then just some words being like massive. It was so weird.
It was wild.
It was definitely engaging, but I was just like, this is very random. I do not understand why this.
Well, I think that because of the advent of streaming services, we have way more customizable subtitles that we didn't necessarily have in the past. So if we're watching on a digital device or streaming to a digital device, we have options to do that now, where before it was just the same block text in Times font or whatever the hell it is.
I just assume that it's for the elderly. You know, they have subtitles, but just in case it's too complicated, look at the big words.
Okay. That's fair.
This is the important part.
Yeah. I'm flashing back to that Family Guy bit where they talk about where they do the interpreters to the very hard of hearing. I don't know if anyone remembers that for Family Guy, but I keep going back to that when I saw the subtitles. You guys can go look it up later if you want.
I guess it's essentially fun from ages 1 to 101. Like, that seems to be like they're really hitting that broad spectrum for their demographic games, and it's working. I really feel like it was working for this show because my wife was not interested, kind of based on the description I had thrown out there, but I do think she would generally appreciate his enthusiasm and actually might be interested in watching it, because it kind of reminded me, obviously not the same take, but it was reminiscent for me, just from my personal experience, of Parts Unknown with Anthony Bourdain.
Sure.
Because that's just something in the sense that this feels like something I would just throw on and watch, like if I'm prepping like to cook a meal, like if I'm doing cutting up vegetables and stuff, I can throw this on, enjoy it, and I'm having a good time, just like, you know, I would with Parts Unknown. So for me, this is kind of just a fun watch, something I have in my back pocket when I'm like, I don't know what I want to watch. Let me throw on an Expedition Unknown. I'll chill, have a good time, and I'll get some work done. This is pretty great. It was just fun.
And you'll learn something.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is the kind of show, it's like educational, and but not necessarily for people who like educational shows.
Right.
I can see that. This is not a PBS show.
Right. Edutainment. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, for me, I thought like, the cultural element, you know, was definitely, you know, like it was mentioned before, definitely got a lot of that. With the first episode, I loved how it, you know, kind of almost pseudo dissected the American dream or the experience of the theoretical American dream into those parts and whatnot, and the excitement behind, you know, a treasure hunt and whatnot. And those illustrations were amazing. The fact that he was able to take that direction, and he was so committed to his friend, you know, that he destroyed all the evidence, and, you know, without even hesitation. So that was really amazing to me. And then seeing a lot of, you know, coverage of the Muisca in the second episode was great for me too, because there's so much that we always hear about the conquistadors and whatnot. We never hear about the people from either side, honestly, on very rare occasions. And so it was great to see so much of that culture kind of spring up, even though so much of it has been lost and whatnot. And my personal favorite part about this was, of course, seeing him get to drink some chicha. Because chicha, you know, some people know about it, some people don't know about it, but I really loved, speaking of Discovery, actually, back in the day, Dogfish Head did a Brewmasters TV series, and one of the special beers they did on one of the episodes was, of course, a chicha. So they made their own chicha. And they've done it, I think, 2 or 3 times over there at the brew pub. But it's really cool to see that a little bit of that culture that was taken from the natives down there was brought over to the stateside even ahead of time. So it was always good to see that kind of thing and learning to hear about all about that kind of thing. So, yeah, I definitely gained a lot from that for sure.
I wish we actually got to see. Have you guys actually seen how chicha's made? It's one thing when they talk about
it. Oh, no. Yeah.
Yeah. They've done episodes where they've seen it. They've done episodes where he was in the rainforest and he just kind of hung out and they made it for him. And you got to drink it, because if you don't drink it, then you're not a friend of the village. And that's you and your crew ain't getting out of there.
And what we learned from the Brewmaster series, actually, was that women have a higher dispensations of the necessary enzymes that are secreted during mastication to help provide the necessary material to actually allow it to ferment better. So, but apparently there were tests that you can do with labs, which is what Dogfish did. They went around, they tested every single employee to see who had the higher enzyme count. They would give them basically a red Solo cup full of kernels to chew and an empty one. So they basically would chew, they would spit it out into the cup, and they would basically bring it back down to the brew house, and they would kind of have that going to make the chicha. It was pretty amazing.
Wow.
That's cool.
Yeah.
The idea of an employer having, I don't know, just that kind of health information feels weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just, I agree. It's like, yeah.
Maybe you're just testing for enzymes.
You have a very high level of the chicha enzyme.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like,
why is that?
In a room and have you chew on corn all day.
Thought I would have to add serial masticator to my resume. You know, it's like this was a lot of fun. You know, and like I said, whenever I've got time, I'm gonna hit up probably both the El Dorado and the Secret follow ups before delving into something else. I think like anything that has like a multi part is exciting. But I think watching the one offs, I think, is gonna be fun too, because you get the whole experience in that sitting, I think. And they do a pretty good job of, you know, encapsulating everything in an episode, I think.
Something I really liked was the focus on archaeology. I'm going to tell you a personal story. When I was in middle school, my dream job was to become an archaeologist one day.
Nice.
I loved history. I was a nerd. Don't ask me why. I was in seventh grade hanging out in the library at lunch reading history books, but I did. And I was like, being an archaeologist sounds like the coolest job. Also, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade had just come out, you know, a year before. And that all sounded awesome until I actually learned what it's like to be an archaeologist. So an archaeologist, you get a little taste of it in this show, which I thought was neat. But essentially, 80% of the job is sitting on the ground with a little brush doing this for hours. Just and then you put it in a little thing and you just sit all day. And when you're not doing that, you're begging for money.
That sounds about right. Yeah, I actually had experience when I was in Israel, when I was 13, 14 in that vicinity. I actually went on a dig with a group down there called Archaeological Seminars. And you know, we got to go and we got to experience a little bit of a taste of that, obviously. We didn't have to trek, you know, 17 miles on foot in the jungle, but you know, we'd have to crawl in and around various different places and caves and whatnot to get to a place. And you know, they were, you know, showing us the sifting and the brushing and the hauling yards. It was cool, mind you, to do it for a day. Like I said, I'm with you, Jason. I'm not sure if I could have ever done that for a living, honestly.
It did seem like a good excuse to have a bullwhip, though. Honestly, that was the draw for me. I was like, to the extent that archaeology involves bullwhips, I'm here for it.
That's fair.
I think I actually bought one from one of those dumb like catalogs that they had years ago.
Oh yeah,
when you were a kid, like where you forget if it was one of those ones where you actually had to save up tokens or something. But I remember ordering the whip, and no good came of
it. Do you have to send in a self-addressed stamp envelope to get it back?
I think I did.
Nice,
probably.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was wild. It was a good time.
I got the hat. That's about it.
There you go. That's pretty sweet. I also did like how they brought in little bits of, you know, more modern technology in. I mean, they used GPR to stand the ground in the Secret episode when they were in St. Augustine, I believe. And then
that was cheating.
Yeah, it is cheating. It is cheating. I was thinking, oh, maybe they have historical photographs. They're going to go back and see what it looked like before. And I was thinking, if they have that, you do AR, right? You have an AR bit of how it looked like. You just create a kind of a 3D map is what I thought they were going to do. But the GPR was neat, but then they were using LIDAR to detect the other spots of the El Dorado area in the jungle there, which that was also really neat. So
yeah, they started using, I think, LIDAR in season one. It was when LIDAR first started coming out, they had people using it on the show, which I thought was cool because that was an amazing piece of technology.
That's neat. Jason Nine, you have any other thoughts you want to share?
I had one observation. So Josh Gates, you know how he's like super excited about everything? Did you guys find out what he did before this, or do you know what he was doing before this?
I didn't look it up, no.
He used to be on one of those Ghost Hunter shows.
Oh, he produced Ghost Hunters.
Dang.
Yeah.
The actual show Ghost Hunters, not all the crazy remakes.
Right.
But the actual like original Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi, back whenever he had his shows on Sci-Fi, he produced their shows. He did a couple of their live things. He had them, if they ever did like a ghost hunting thing on one of his old shows, he'd bring them the footage and say, "Is that a ghost?" And they go, "Nah, it's a bug." And you go, "Ah, I hate this stuff."
I can totally see him being on one of those Ghost Hunter shows or producing. Because that's like everything. He's like super excited. You know, because on those ghost shows, you watch them and they just sort of react very excited to every little thing. They're like, the radar is beeping. There's a red light blinking right now. There might be something here. There's a red light happening. Clearly, you've seen a ghost. You've seen a ghost.
Amazingly, he wasn't like that at all. Of the very, very few times, because he only came on the live stuff because he was a producer. He only showed up for the live stuff.
Gotcha.
Whenever he was more interested in how the technology worked and what it meant, like, all right, so what does this mean? What is this trying to tell me right here? This little flashing light. Not, oh my God, there's a ghost. It's, what is this? What is this trying to tell me right now?
I have even more respect for him now.
That's amazing.
I appreciate that he's, you know.
Yeah, he cared more about the tech than the actual boogeymen.
Awesome.
Awesome. Well, you guys are going to have to watch the next two episodes of The Secret and the continuation of El Dorado, and I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, yeah, man. Yeah, but Decky, thank you so much for coming on. And you know, like I said, you're more than welcome to come back if you have anything else, you know, down the pike you might want to think about pitching and whatnot, and love to have people back. Once, if you are around, you can catch Ducky in and about the communities there if you ever want to connect with him. And like we mentioned before, Everyday Geek, Santa, just name a few of the channels out there and the community. That's what we thought.
Awesome. Thanks. All right. Goodbye, everybody. Santa, Nerd Mafia, Quentin, Nikki, Sheev, everybody. Peace.
Well, that happened, folks, which brings us to the end of another episode of the Watch OK Please podcast. We hope you had a good time listening to us spout more nonsense today, and hope you join us next week for another exercise in futility. In the meantime, please rate and review us on either Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or just tell a friend about us. Until next week, keep on watching.